Klal Yisrael recently lost two extraordinary leaders. Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rosh Yeshiva of Masechtas Tiferes Yerushalayim, was one of the greatest poskim, if not the greatest posek of our generation. His guidance was sought by countless individuals from all walks of life and by numerous Jewish communal leaders and organizations. His greatness in Torah was matched only by his extreme level of anav, of humility. We've also suffered the loss of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Tzatzal, Chief Rabbi of the United Kingdom, whose eloquence through the spoken word and the written word projected the depth and beauty of Torah Judaism to countless people across the globe, both Jew and non-Jew alike, bringing with it an incredible sense of Kiddush Shem Shamayim. These two towering personalities could not be more different in terms of background, personality, and spheres of influence. But if we are to be inspired to try to fill the void created by their passing, it's essential that we make an effort to appreciate their respective legacies. Too often, we live in isolated silos, and naturally, we seek inspiration from role models who are more familiar to us, who are more aligned with the hashkafa of the communities in which we live. And sometimes, growing up in a very insular environment, so someone like that would probably never have had the opportunity to be roused by the words of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. On the other hand, someone with little or no exposure to the world of the yeshiva, to the world of Orthodox Judaism, would probably not ever have heard of the one-of-a-kind greatness of Rav David Feinstein. Baruch Hashem, we have a broader perspective, and we're familiar with, and especially if we can straddle the various worlds with worlds within the from community, we recognize that Klal Yisrael is not monolithic. Klal Yisrael needs and even thrives with all different kinds of leaders. It's perhaps ironic that two of the most prominent names in Jewish publishing are Art Scroll and Koren. If there's one person who has been the inspiration for Art Scroll from its very inception until today, it's Rav David Zatzal. If you want to learn more about this, I would recommend that you read the marvelous biography of Rav Meir Zlatowitz, the founder of Art Scroll, which describes the profound love and admiration, mutual admiration and respect that existed between Rav David and Rav Meir Zlatowitz. And if there is a rabbinic personality that has left an indelible imprint on Koren through his translation and commentary of the Siddur and with his many other books, it's Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. Perhaps there's a hidden message here about the need for Klal Yisrael to come together and to appreciate that despite whatever shades of difference exist across the Ashkafic spectrum, we ultimately are one people, and it behooves us to treasure that unity. I would like to focus tonight on Rav David Zatzal, with whom I was blessed to have a warm connection with since childhood. A famous orator once remarked, "All that has to be said has already been said, but not everyone has said it." The sentiments and the impressions that I will share with you have been noted by many others, but I believe that to some extent it's my personal responsibility to offer words of appreciation of Rav David, to personally share the teachings of my first Rebbe, the Posek of American Jewry, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tiferes Yerushalayim, the Rebbe of the Lower East Side, where I grew up, but also the Rav and the Posek of my family. My father came to MTJ just after his bar mitzvah. He continues to feel a connection until this very day. Rav David Zatzal was a unique blend of genius, intellectual greatness, combined with pashtus, down-to-earth simplicity. Rav David had shas on his fingertips, rendering psak halacha on the most complicated of shailos without the need to have to think it through, sleep on it, or check sources. But at the same time, he carried himself without a shred of pretentiousness. He didn't convey a sense of stature. He carried himself like he was one of us, like Amcha, a Pashut Yid. He could be spotted patronizing the local establishments on the Lower East Side, having breakfast at the pizza shop, or even personally bending down to replenish the soda machine outside the Beis Medrash. He'd be accessible to anyone who turned to him with a shaila of any kind, from serious to frivolous, and everything in between. It could be an end-of-life issue, a Hilchos Ribbish question, a Yala V'Yavo shaila, or a question about the time for Hadlakas Neros. It could be an Eitza, it could be a Bracha, it could be someone who was a Nudnik, who just needed to vent about something. Either way, Rav David heard the person out, would offer a response, which would usually be very succinct. He did not have a gabai that would discourage people from engaging with Rav David in conversation, and in fact, as his grandson mentioned at the Levaya, he instructed those around him not to be too protective of his phone number or to prevent people from speaking to him. Rav David's style was not flowery or verbose, and sometimes his succinct responses could feel disconcerting to someone who wasn't aware of that, to someone who expected more discussion, more elaboration. Even knowing his style, we all sometimes wished that we could receive a psak that included more explanation. And I'd venture to say that most of us would sometimes try to find ways to keep the conversation going, to follow up. We were hungry for that, not because we doubted what he said, his psak, chas v'shalom, but because there was a mystery behind his laser-like clarity, and we wanted to understand where it came from, the Dvar Hashem, why did he paskin as he did. Coming from Rav David, his brevity of response wasn't perceived as cold or distant. It was so obvious that he saw the answer clearly, and he was just communicating it directly. He exuded a sense of pleasantness, of ni'imus. He carried himself with an inner serenity and calm, a sense of emunah pshuta. His trademark smile, which is evident in so many of the pictures, is a testament to his warmth and the serenity that one felt in his presence. I believe it may be helpful if I shared some of my own personal reflections of Rav David Zatzal and what he meant to me. I think there's a special meaning in hearing words directly from the heart of someone who's been touched by a gadol. We know Dvarim Hayotzim and Halev, Nichnasim El Halev. And I hope that what I share with you can flesh out and reinforce the lessons that are emerging from the many articles that have been written already and will continue to be written, and the reflections of so many others. And more importantly, I hope that the very fact that they come from my heart and from personal memories will help to convey an impression of his greatness. So I was born and raised on the Lower East Side. My connection to Rav David goes back to my childhood and even before. My father, he should be well, was a Talmud of Rav Moshe Zatzal and a contemporary of Rav David. In fact, my parents first got a glimpse of one another when Rav David had just been married a few years, and one Hanukkah, some 60 years ago, my father was visiting Rav David and my mother was visiting her friend, Rav David's wife, Rebbetzin Malka, she should be well. Lower East Side apartments are not very large, and they could not help but see each other. As did most boys in the Lower East Side, I attended MTJ, the Sefer Teferet Yerushalayim, for elementary school. During those years, this is the mid to late 70s, I was zoche to see Rav Moshe Feinstein on a regular basis. And I have vivid childhood memories of seeing Rav Moshe at the yeshiva and in his home. In my mind, I can hear still the inflection of his voice as he said Kriyat Shema. Certain words of Kriyat Shema still reverberate in my head. I even remember his last Shabbos Haggadah Drasha, Shabbos Shuva Drasha, where he slept over at the yeshiva and he spoke in the yeshiva Shabbos afternoon. It's hard to adequately explain what it means to the psyche of a child or an adolescent to hear the sweet voice of a gadol in the memories. When one goes back and thinks about it, it cements an appreciation of tzidkus with an emotional memory. And the way such a memory warms my soul, at the same time is ever so humbling, it's a mechayiv in my own tefillah, in my own kriyashma. And the mix of sentiments is ever precious and it transcends words. The shul where my family davened on Shabbos and Yontif was the yeshiva, it was MTJ. My father was the Baal Tefillah for Yomim Noraim for many decades. How connected I felt to the tefillah over all those years of my youth and my adolescence and beyond, knowing that my tefillah, my father's tefillah, and that of everyone else around us was mingling with the tefillah of the constant presence of Rav David. One of the things that will stay with me forever as a child was how Rav David would regularly encourage me to take on responsibilities in shul, to daven for the amud and to lein. I can hear him saying, yeah, Elchanan Asher, go daven for the amud. And I was really bashful in those years. It didn't always feel like I wanted to, but yet you can't say no to Rav David. He took personal pleasure and pride in serving as a mentor without articulating it in those terms. And it was those many opportunities, the countless times, I can't even remember how many, that I would daven Kabbalah Shabbos Friday night and I would lein, that built my confidence. When someone so much greater than yourself takes time to notice you, it gives you confidence, it gives you faith in yourself. What he did for me, he did for all the boys of the Lower East Side, all the boys in the yeshiva. It wasn't about me. It was about his desire to build other people up. Even when I went on for high school and Beis Medrash to the Mir in Brooklyn, and then on to Yeshiva Beis Yosef Nevardik in Brooklyn, MTJ was always something of a second home, a Beis Medrash that I would come back to learn over Shabbos and Ben Hazmanim whenever I'd have opportunities, and Rav David was always a constant presence. I can still recall Rav Moshe's Levaya in 1986, Tafshin Mem Vav, and how devastating it was for all of us. We felt literally as if the world that we knew was collapsing. And then, of course, in a way it had. As Rashi writes in the Pasuk in Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Shava, Yitzias Tzadik Menamokam Oserosham, Pana Hoda, Pana Ziva, Pana Hadara. I even recall laning Shabbos Minyan, during the Shiva of Rav Moshe. I was the Baal Kore, it was Parshas Tzav. And it was right after that, right after the Shiva, that Rav David, who always shunned the limelight, reluctantly was thrust into the position of Rosh Hashiva. It was his hachtara, so to speak, his coronation, taking over to be a Malam Malkam for his father. In the late 1980s, I joined the Grusko Elyon of Ritz under the auspices of Avaron Kahn, who is also a Lower East Sider, and Rosh Yeshiva along in the yeshiva to this day. Around the same time, I received my formal smicha from MTJ, typical of Rav David's understated style. Receiving the smicha klath was very simple and unpretentious. It was written on regular MTJ stationery. It was signed by the Mashkiach, then Rav Michal Berenbaum Zatzal, and Rav David. If I'm not mistaken, Rav David affixed his signature while standing in the hallway of the yeshiva outside the Beis Medrash. No theatrics, no fancy ceremony. I'm not against it. It's well-deserved. It reflects chashivus. But at the same time, there was something very genuine about the simplicity of it. And here I would add that for some Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva world, the thought of going to learn in Ritz would seem maybe heretical, controversial. And I can tell you that for Rav David, there were no such compunctions. He recognized that YU was a makom Torah. As I noted, the Griskoa was under the auspices of Avaron Kahn, was a native East Sider, who was very close to Rav David. And Bechlal, political labels and affiliations were just not on his radar. As a matter of fact, when the yeshiva had a shloshim in Lamport Auditorium for the Rav Zatzal, the two Rashi yeshiva from the yeshiva world who attended were Rav David Zatzal and Yibad L'chaim, his brother Rav Ruven Shlita. Okay, so the memories are very strong. I remember Rav David being at my Sheva Brachas in MTJ in the dining room. Rabbi Simon was there. He reminds me of it. I don't remember the details, but he does. And again, it's part of my kishkes in terms of my connections and my feelings. Whenever I published a new sefer, I'd make a point of personally bringing a copy to Rav David. He was always kind enough to express appreciation. I remember once he gave me a bracha to publish many more svarim. I also recall him mentioning to me once that something that I'd written in one of the publications in Yeshiva, I think it was Beis Yosef Shaul, was quoted by Rav Tzvika Reisman of L.A. in one of his early svarim. I don't think that what I wrote was the most compelling thing that Rav David would have noticed it, and he made a point of mentioning it to me. But again, it was an example of his chesed. And of course, it made me smile. Over the years, I've had many opportunities, Baruch Hashem, to bring my children to Rav David for brachas, which they remind me today that they cherish so much. He had a way of making children feel very comfortable with his smile, his lack of pretentiousness, and again, as so many have already noted, his good-natured ability to pose for pictures with patience, and all that shows you how much he wanted to give to others. For the past 6 or 7 years, I've invited Talmidim in my shir to join me at Rav David's annual Haggadah Shel Pesach shir that he gave every year about a week before Pesach. This shir was extremely popular. It drew people from all ages, from all different walks of life. Rav David's plain, down-to-earth style was so refreshing and so disarming. It made it easy to take in the timely and relevant messages. Just in the past few days since the passing of Rav David, I've received a number of calls from Talmidim who have since moved on, they've graduated, and they called to express appreciation. First, they wanted to express tanchumen, if you will, and also to express appreciation for having given me the opportunity to see Rav David in person over all those years that they remember going to the Haggadah Shir. For me and for many like me, it's hard to absorb that Rav David is not here with us anymore. As we said before the Moshe, Pana Hoda, Pana Ziva, Pana Hadara. Rav David was interviewed several years ago about his father, Rav Moshe. And he's reported to have said that we should not be focusing on his father's brilliance in Torah, how many times he finished Shas, etc. But we should focus on his Midos Tovos, his Chesed, and his Masim Tovim. Because it's that people will be inspired to be like, to emulate. And I have no doubt that Rav David would not want us to dwell on his mastery of Torah, and his Koach HaPsak, his incredible power to paskin shilas without having to go back over the sources. With regard to that, Rav David was in a league of his own. As we said, he fielded shilas, the most difficult of shilas from far and wide. But what made Rav David so unique, and this was articulated by Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita at the Levaya, he said, Rav David was a min bifnei atzmo, literally one of a kind. And that is how his brilliance was masked by the extraordinary anava. We throw the term anava around very loosely, but I can tell you, and so many can tell you, that for Rav David it was his quintessential trait. Kavod meant literally nothing to him. At the Siyum HaShas, last January 1st, Rav David was supposed to receive the honor of being Mesayim Shas in front of 90,000 people at MetLife Stadium. He demurred and he asked that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky have the honor. Just imagine that. Rav Shmuel got up, he was very choked up, and he acknowledged how Rav David, it was a simple thing for Rav David, probably was a simple thing because of Rav David's natural anava, but it's an incredible illustration of that. Although Rav David was completely confident in his ability to paskin, he never imposed his psak on others. His son Rav Mordechai spoke at the Levaya. He mentioned then that Rav David was comfortable sharing his opinion when asked, but did not insist that everyone follow it. At the Levaya, I was walking with Rabbi Zvi Bell, the executive director of the Aguda, and he shared with me the following story. A few years ago, he said about 15 years ago, at the Aguda convention, Rav David never liked to speak publicly, but one year they prevailed on him to give a shir. The shir was on the topic of refuah and halacha, healing, and he dealt with some very sensitive end-of-life issues, and he offered his opinion in halacha. After he finished, there was a woman present. She worked for Bikur Cholim. She got up in front of everyone present. She began to complain that something Rav David said was overly lenient, and we don't do things this way. She basically implied that Rav David didn't have a right to have such a psak, to say such a thing, and he was wrong. So Rav David, this is what Rabbi Zlubel told me, Rav David let her go on and on without any interruptions or any attempts at defending his position or his kavod. When she concluded her words, he simply said to the audience, "Okay, so now you have another opinion." Can you imagine? It's well known that Rav David was very sparing with his words. This midah was noted by his father, Rav Moshe Zatzal, who said the following on the occasion of Rav David's 25th anniversary. This is recorded in the Sefer Kol Ram in Parshas Vayakel, if you want to look it up. He said, "Hakol yodim es gedulas ba'Torah ba'hanhaga. All know his greatness in Torah and overall conduct. Avol yesh lo hosif sheyesh lo gam kein shita shelo ledaber ulepachos lahamit bedibur. He also has a shita to limit his speech. Avol meidach gisa, but on the other hand, masha yitzerech lomar hu omer belashen berura. What he has to say, he says with clarity." Rav David's humility and his self-restraint in speech went as far as embodying a midah that Chazal referred to as Hanelavim ve'enam ovin, shomin cherpasam ve'enam meshivin. People who, even when they are insulted, have the self-discipline not to respond in kind. Rav Baruch Moskowitz used to learn with Rav David for about 26 years on a daily basis, and he's written now two volumes of V'Dibarta Bam, which are tshuvas that he discussed halachic issues with Rav David. After learning a sugya, he would discuss with Rav David how Rav David felt the halacha should follow, and he recorded those psakim in his sefer. And he said at a hesped the other night in Torah Vedas the following story that he himself experienced. He was in the back of Rav David's office. The office was called the co-office. It really was like a storage for soda cans and other things, and there were shelves with svarim. There was a divider in the room, so Rabbi Moskowitz was in the back of the room looking up at something in a sefer. Rav David was in the front of the room sitting at a desk. And a person, he overhears, Rav Moskowitz overhears from the back of the room, someone enters the office where Rav David was seated. Before long, he began to hear the person who entered the room heaping all kinds of insults at Rav David. Rav David remained completely silent throughout and did not say a word. Rabbi Matzkur says he was cringing in the back area, completely frozen, at a loss at what to say and what to do. Finally, the man left, and when Rabbi Moskowitz came out, he was astounded that Rav David simply engaged him in regular conversation as if nothing had happened, not emoting, not processing, not speaking badly of the person, literally not speaking about the person at all. There was literally nothing to discern on his face that anything had occurred of what we described. And I was thinking that this extraordinary level of anava, just over Shabbos, this thought occurred to me. It's not just that it masked Rav David's greatness, but actually contributed to it. And that's maybe because there's a fascinating comment by the Bali Atosis al Torah relating to two psukim at the end of Parshas Chayisara, which is the Shabbos after the Levaya. The psukim tell us the names of the children of Yishmael. These are just names, you wouldn't think twice about them. One pasuk states, in the middle of the three psukim that list the 12 names, Umishma, Viduma, Umasa, three names. The next pasuk continues with another five names, Chadad, the Tema, Yitur, Nafish, Valkedma. Says one of the commentaries from the Bali Atosos the following remez. The first pasuk, Umishma, Viduma, Umasa, refers to someone who hears himself being insulted. Umishma, he hears. Viduma, he's quiet, he's silent. Umasa, and he bears it. And the next pasuk continues, Chadad, the tema, what's the reward for that? He'll become sharp, chadad, and he'll be able to say over the tema, he'll be able to say over Torah, yitur, he'll be able to guard, nafish, the many mitzvos that exist, nafish means a lot, valkedma, that were given in the Torah many, many years ago. The Chidah, in the Sefer Pnei David, quotes this pshat, and he says, it's also hinted in what we say in the Olkai Netzor. We say, V'nafshi ka'ofer la kol tiyah, We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the ability that if people are going to step on us, so to speak, we won't feel it. We won't feel a need to get back at the person, and we'll be able to be really just be able to handle it. And with that, Psach libi besorasecha uvemitzvasecha tirdof nafshi. We ask right afterwards in that merit that we open up, Hashem opens up our heart to Torah and to pursue mitzvahs. There's another connection between Rav David and Parshas Chayisara, and that has to do with the famous expression, Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. The author of Slobodka has a lengthy essay on this topic, and he develops it in connection to the story of Rivka's Chesed that's described in the Parsha. And he elaborates and says, as important as we know are the details in Minushei of Halacha, so are the fine details of Menschlichkeit, Ben Adam Machavero, and he analyzes how you see in the story of Rivka, every aspect of her chesed reflects an aspect that we can learn from about Derech Eretz. Rav Tzadok used to point out, it's in many places in his Svarim, that Sefer Bereishis, which is the first of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, is the preface, the prelude to Sefer Shmos, which is Matan Torah, from the perspective of Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. Sefer Bereishis is a Sefer of Derech Eretz. Sefer Shmos is now Torah. In a similar vein, the Netziv, in his introduction to Sefer Bereishis, has a beautiful insight about why Chazal referred to this Sefer as Sefer HaYashar, which is a reference to the Avos who are Yesharim. What does it mean to be a Yashar? Says the Netziv, the hallmark of Yashrus is the ability to show tolerance, to show benevolence to others, even those we might strongly disagree with. Rav David completely embodies this quality of Yashrus, of Derech Eretz, Kadma LaTorah. Rav David's innate sense of Yashrus made him recoil from any semblance of machlokas. He would be loath to sign strident kokores, proclamations that would stir controversy. Like Rav Moshe before him, his Piske Halacha and his Eitzos would often take into consideration the values of Shalom and the avoidance of Machlokas. One of the people who would often ask Rav David Halachic Shailas, Rabbi Aaron Melman, he reports that whenever his question would begin with, in this community there's a dispute amongst the Rabbanim about X or Y, what does Rosh Hashiva think? Rav David, having heard that there's a dispute among Rabbanim, and he's being asked to weigh in, he would look down, he'd refuse to utter a word, not wanting to get involved in a machlokas. In my recently published book on Anim Zmiros, I record a story which is a humorous illustration of how Rav David's clarity of thought effectively resolved a controversy that was beginning to turn ugly. And I'm going to quote just a few lines. This is a story that was shared with me by a person who I know from the Lower East Side. He says, a fellow member of his bungalow colony wished to introduce the weekly recitation of Anim Zmiros for every Shabbos, but his lobbying efforts were met with fierce and heated opposition, creating a schism within the ordinarily peaceful summer community. People can become very strident about their opinions, whatever, however big, however small. So as the person described it, it was going to come to blows, literally. It was decided to present the issue to Rav David Feinstein, whose verdict would be accepted by all parties. After being informed of the controversy and other relevant details pertaining to the particular bungalow colony, Rav Feinstein noted that inasmuch as the structure that housed the shul was dilapidated and lacked a sense of grandeur, it would not be appropriate to recite the Shir HaKavod in such a non-respectful setting. With such an answer, Rav David was able to effectively validate the sensitivities of the people who petitioned him and their concern, and yet advise against introducing a change that would upset half of the Olam. Everyone was happy. Consistent with the notion of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah and Drachei Darchei Noam, many of the psakim of Rav David reflect a sensitivity and a deference to communal norms. Rav David, this has been noted also by many others, he was not fond of jumping on the bandwagon of a new chumrah, even if it seemed to have a solid halachic basis. He might acknowledge privately to a person, to an individual, okay, if you want to adopt the chumrah, fine. But he would not want this to become a weapon that would cast aspersions on what...
This meeting is being recorded.
Rabbi, I think you froze, okay, but I didn't get to unmute.
Okay. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much.
Rav David was not fond of chumras. If someone had a basis for the chumrah, he would say, fine, you want to do it, fine. But he did not want to become a weapon that would cast aspersions on what people were doing on Minag HaOlam, as long as what they were doing was technically acceptable. I want to share with you a piece of a medrash in Parshas Tzav, because this is actually the source in Chazal for the expression Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. This medrash is fascinating on many levels. It develops the idea of Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah, associates it with a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, Lishmor Es Derech Eitz HaChayim, the 26 generations that preceded Matan Torah. There's a lot here, but I want to focus just on the story that the medrash tells us, and I think it's so perfect to appreciate Rav David through the prism of this medrash and the story told by the medrash. So the story is as follows. Again, you find it in Parshas Tzav. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yanai Shai Mahalach Baderech. Rabbi Yanai was walking on the road, and he sees somebody who looked very distinguished. Ra Adam Shai Meshupa B'Yoser. So Rabbi Yanai sees such a person, he imagines he must be a huge Talmud Chacham. He invites the person in to come in and have some food in his house. Would you accept my hospitality? The person accepted. So hechniso lebeso hechilo v'ishkeyu. So Rav Yana gave him a full course meal, gave him a lot to eat, a lot to drink, and now it's time to talk and learning. So he began to probe, what does this person have to say about different areas of Torah? Badko b'mikra. So he began to talk in Chumash, Tanakh, lo matzo. And the person seemed to know nothing. He just didn't have the knowledge. B'mishnah, he tried talking Mishnah. V'lo mitzo, ba'agada, v'lo mitzo, b'talmud, v'lo mitzo. Whatever it was, he tried. The person seemed ignorant. So at that point, Rav Yanai realized, okay, we're not going to get anywhere here. Okay, at least, birchas hamazon, he asked him to lead benching. He says, sav berich. So here, say birchas hamazon, zimun. So the person responds, Yivarech Yanai Beveisei. It's your house, you do it. Apparently he couldn't even recite Birchas HaMazon. That's how much of an Am Haaretz he was. So Rav Yanai said the following, as reported in the Medrash. He says, say after me, Isbach Omar Mada Anna Omalach. Can you say, repeat after me? He says, that I can do. So Rav Yanai said, say the following, Achol Kalba Pista de Yanai. A dog has eaten of Yanai's bread. Kam tafse. This man got up and grabbed onto Yanai, and he said, Yerusasi gabach. My inheritance is with you. The atmoneali. You're holding back my inheritance, my heritage. Rav Yanai asked, what does that mean? What do you mean? My Yerusasi gabi. What do you mean? Your inheritance is by me, says the person. I remember once I was passing the school and I heard the voice of children in the cheder, and they were saying the following, Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, Morasha, Kihilas, Yaakov. It didn't say Morasha, Kihilas, Yanai, the inheritance of the Kihilas of Yanai, it says Kihilas, Yaakov. It's not an exclusive club, it's not just for you, not just for the elite. So Rav Yanai was obviously taken aback, and he realized this person has something going for him, and he began to probe, tell me, why did you have this merit to eat at my table? Rav Yanai felt somehow this person came to his house and ate of his food. There must be some schus he has. So the person tells Rav Yanai two things. Miyomai lo shimoyes mila bisha v'chazarti l'mara. Number one, I never heard a bad word and responded in kind. There are two pshatim in the Mefarshei HaMedrash. One is that it means what I just said. In other words, if someone insulted me, I never responded to that person in kind with another insult. Another pshat is that if I heard someone saying something negative about someone else, I would never report back to the person who was said on, because that would be called rechilas. I never did that. I never engaged in rechilas. I never engaged in insulting a person back. The second thing he says, v'lo chamis trained imitkatshin deinim dein, v'lo yavis shloma beineyon. I never saw two people who were fighting with each other, and I didn't find a way to reconcile between them. So Rabbi Yannai responds with that, kol hadar derech eretz gabach. You have this incredible level of derech eretz, the karisach kalba, and I've called you a dog. And it goes on to say, Rabbi Yannai had a new interpretation of a pasuk in Tehillim, and it connects it with derech eretz kadma la Torah. Now, there is so much to unpack in this medrash, and I've actually spoken and written about it in other times, other places. I want to just emphasize the most obvious takeaway message from this vignette. Look at the study in contrast. Here you have Rabbi Yannai, the great Rabbi Yannai, the brilliant Talmid Chacham, cannot imagine that this ignoramus, this Amma Aretz, has any redeeming qualities. On the other hand, you have a man who's a total Amma Aretz, knows nothing of Torah, not Mikra, not Mishnah, not Agada, can't even bench, and yet he has a way to expose the condescending attitude of Rabbi Yannai. He accuses Rabbi Yannai of taking away his heritage. He invokes that pasuk of Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marasha Kiras Yaakov, it's not just for you, it belongs to me as well. Don't write me out. And that's what leads Rabbi Yannai to think twice about what he was thinking before, and he has an epiphany. And he appreciates now the idea of Derech Eretz and how that is so essential to Torah. I'm thinking about this medrash. Obviously, what's the obvious takeaway message? Don't get too wrapped up in your elitism that you know so much and you can dismiss the humanity of someone who knows less or someone who knows nothing. Everyone has redeeming qualities, and if you search hard enough, you'll discover that. And you discover your own shortcomings at the same time. And to me, that was Rav David. His Derech Eretz was the antithesis of the image described in the Medrash of Rav Yannai. Rav David could sit down with anybody, however much, however little Torah they knew, and they would feel comfortable in his presence. He had a knack for connecting with Amcha, the average person. I would notice on numerous occasions I think we're reconnecting now again. It's Okay, everyone can hear again.
Your
I'm sorry.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, I myself saw on numerous occasions Rav David would be shopping in the local bakery, in the kosher store on the east side. On the day of the Levaya, I was parking my car in front of a shoe repair, which was a shoe repair shop a few blocks away from MTJ. I stopped in to say hello to Eric, who I know from many years ago. He shared with me that the rabbi was one of his regular customers. And I asked Eric, do you have a story? Again, it's... Okay, sorry about the technical difficulties. I asked Eric, do you have a story to share about the rabbi? So he shared with me, again, as I said, the rabbi was one of his regular customers. And he said a few years ago, he received a bracha, a blessing from Rav David, when a competitor opened up a shoe repair shop on the next block. He did other things besides repairing shoes. And Eric felt like, wait a second, he can do all the other things, but let him leave shoe repair for me. He came to Rav David, and he asked, can I summon the person to a din Torah, to a Beit Din? So Rav David told him, Parnassa is from Hashem, and all would be fine. Gave him a bracha. Within a few months, the other person's shop closed down, and Eric was doing better than ever. I was very moved by the story. I said, Eric, do you mind sharing the story on video? And I videoed the story, and I have it. I came home, I showed the video to my wife, who's a therapist. And she's listening to the video, and she was struck by the way in which Eric spoke about how he sought the rabbi's advice, he sought his advice, and he received the bracha and the encouragement. To this day, this is years later, he's talking about how it lifted his spirits, the warmth, the attachment. He felt valued, he felt loved, he felt taken care of by the rabbi. That ability to connect with the common person wasn't just Rav David's nature, it was a shita. I believe it was a conscious shita and ideology. I recall an insight from one of the Haggadah Shel Pesach Shiurim that I heard from Rav David that year that illustrates it. This point. Rav David explained, why do we respond to the Chacham in the Haggadah with the halacha of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman? That's what we tell him. The halacha is that you're not allowed to eat other food after the Afikoman. Why? Because we don't want the taste of the matzah to go away from your mouth. Said Rav David, just as we don't want the physical taste of the matzah to disappear, we want it to remain in your mouth, so we tell the Chacham, come down from the intellectual RV tower. You're in your head, too much in your head. Taste the experience of freedom on a visceral level, on an emotional level, like the regular person. You can't just escape from the reality of human emotions and just go into your head. Just like you have to feel the taste in a physical way of the Afikoman, so Chacham, you have to balance your Chachma with a very down-to-earth quality as well. You have to feel the Cheirus on a very human level. That was Rav David's insight into the Haggadah, the beautiful drush, but really it captures his whole essence. And I saw this countless times, how he would carry himself in the presence of others who would wander into the halls of MTJ, into the Beis Medrash, who would corner him while he was in the pizza shop. If I could just sum it up, I would say there's a Gemara in Megillah that many people say a Motzi Shabbos. And this statement is said regarding a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but this is the Mida, I think, that personifies Rav David, epitomizes Rav David. The Makom Shatamotze Gidulaso Shom Atamotze Andesanuso. My Rebbe Aveli Brudny noted in a hesped he gave earlier a few days ago that if you study the famous Igeres HaRamban, which focuses heavily on the quality of Anova, you go through that letter of the Ramban, you'll discover that Rav David literally personified all the aspects written in that letter of the Ramban. And it's perhaps no wonder that the stories abound about brachos that Rav David gave that were fulfilled, that were mekuyim. The Ramban talks about, from Anava, you experience something akin to Ruach HaKodesh. I know that my family and I have taken upon ourselves to work on these qualities more consciously than ever before, and I hope that everyone who's listening, all of Klal Yisrael, should be inspired to find an area of Ben Adam HaChavero, of Chesed, of Anav, of Pashtus, that we can all strengthen in his Chus as well. Yehi Zichro Baruch.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.